Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5? As Doug said, we are continuing this portion of Ephesians talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to focus on that one part of that one verse. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. But, as I have said, this passage is one sentence, verses 15 through 21 is one sentence in the original. And so we're going to read the entire thing. But before we do, while you're turning your Bibles, let's pray once again. Father, would you answer the song that we have sung? May it not just be words that we spewed out because they were on a screen, but may they be words that come from our heart, that we really do desire your Spirit to lead us, to influence our lives, to empower us. We pray that would happen, for we know that you use prayer, you use the Word of God, you use singing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so we pray that you would use all of those now, those things you've put at your disposal, to speak to our spirits where your Spirit lives. For we pray it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Ephesians 5, and we're going to read once again verses 15 through 21. So would you stand as we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, the Word of God. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine. For that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. You know the old saying that truth is stranger than fiction? And with this list of things, which of these are stranger than fiction? The Cubs win the World Series. Donald Trump is elected president. Washington State goes to the Rose Bowl. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. God lives in every believer. Of those, only one is really assured. There was no way to know that the Cubs would ever win the World Series again, or that Donald Trump would be president, or we don't know whether the Cougars will go to the Rose Bowl, or even if they go, they will win. But what we do know is that God lives in us, and that's what we've been talking about with this idea of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're called then because God lives in us to this life of fullness. And my point right off the bat is this: how can there not be a difference in our lives? If God lives in us, how can we just go on living like we used to be? It ought not to be that way. If the Holy Spirit departed from Valley Bible Church today, would we know it? If He departed from your life, would you notice? There must be a difference in our lives. How can a person ask Jesus into their heart? I know that's not really the gospel. The gospel is Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. But Jesus does come into your heart, into your life. And how can we ever believe that a person can believe that truth, that theological truth, Christ died for my sins, rose from the dead, I repent of my sin, God change me, and He comes and lives within you and baptizes you into His body. He lives within you. How can that not make a difference in your life? How can anyone say that a person can just say a prayer and go the rest of their life and no change in their life? Can't be. God lives in us. And He called us to a life of fullness. And that life of fullness is a life in the Spirit. To cut to the chase here, being filled with the Spirit means that we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit's supernatural influence. Not just a theological truth, But he leads us by this influence. Why? For what purpose? To become more and more like Christ in maturity. That's really all we're going to say this morning. It's what the filling of the Spirit is. That's what it means to be filled by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about today. We've already been told in the book that we were sealed with the Spirit. We told that we are not to grieve the Spirit. And today we're going to see that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now remember, the context is that we are to live our lives wisely. That's the heading here. Walking in wisdom. We are to live wisely, he said, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We must remember the context. We're talking about living a wise life. Living a life of wisdom will mean you're not going to get drunk, but you are going to be filled with the Spirit. So let's just kind of take that context and let's break this down. First of all, it's not wise to get drunk, okay? I told you, our lessons are don't be stupid, don't be foolish, and don't get drunk. And here we're told, do not get drunk. Why? Because it's sin. It's sin. Now, hear me out. We have talked about this in the book of Romans. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. It is not a sin to drink alcohol, but drunkenness is called sin in the Bible. We've covered this before. You can partake of alcohol by faith if you feel like you have the freedom to do so. There are some of you, because of your background, you don't have the freedom to drink alcohol ever again. You don't have that freedom. But for someone who has not had that problem, they have the freedom. In fact, Psalm 104, you might want to write this down, 104:14 says, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, talking about God, and the vegetation for the labor of man, this is a good thing he gives, so that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine which makes man's heart glad, so that he may make his face glisten with oil and food which sustains man's heart. Wine was something that was given by God to gladden our hearts, used appropriately. But like all things in life, because of sin, it becomes perverted, it becomes misused, it becomes a problem in people's lives, it becomes sin. So yes, it is something that God has given to be joyously used, but at the same time, if we misuse it, it is sin. Galatians 5, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Go back to chapter 5 of Ephesians, the first few verses, remember we covered those. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, Paul says, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What he's not saying there is if you get drunk once, you're going to lose your salvation or you're going to hell. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that this is not consistent with our lives as believers. This is not consistent for the one who continually practices those kinds of things. They're demonstrating the Spirit of God does not live in me. I have not been born again. I have not repented of my sin. But for those who have repented and God lives in them through His Holy Spirit, there is a difference in that person's life. So it's sin. We know that. We know that drunkenness is a sin. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. Drunkenness is. But in our context, we also see, because he prohibits it, do not get drunk. We also see it's not wise. It's not wise. Remember the context that we're talking about. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Don't get drunk with wine. It's not wise. You know it's not wise. You who have lived it. We who have lived it. I include myself. Proverbs 23:31. I remember when I first became a Christian. And I came out of a life of alcohol and drugs. And I remember reading through the Proverbs and trying to learn wisdom and reading this passage and going, gosh, I know this one well. Proverbs 23 says, remember, we're focusing on wisdom. I hope you are reading through the Proverbs to gain this wisdom. It says this, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In other words, it is a temptation. That is pretty, it's beautiful, it's alluring. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. You know what I'm talking about. Your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea or like one who lies down on the top of the mast. And I remember reading this and thinking, oh yeah, in the middle of the night, my bed is moving. Can't this just be over with, being sick to my stomach because of alcohol? Some of you have been there. And you're thinking to yourself and saying to yourself, I'm never going to do this again, right? Verse 35 says, they struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I'll seek another drink. That's what alcohol abuse looks like. That's what those who are given to drunkenness looks like. I forgot about last night, and I see the wine once again. It's sparkling. It's alluring. Then it bites me like a vapor, and I'm sick to my stomach, and I'm never going to do this again. I wake up in the morning, and the next day, it sparkles in the cup. It's beautiful and alluring and temptation. I'll just have a little. It's not wise. Proverbs tells us it's not wise. You know, this just doesn't apply to alcohol, this idea of being drunk with wine. Anything that is a major influence of your life that's out of control, that you cannot control, gaming, gambling, pornography, prostitutes, food, alcohol, marijuana, prescription drugs, whether legal or not, if there are those things that you misuse that influence your life and cause the same as what Proverbs 23 says, do not be intoxicated with those things. It's sin. It's not wise. And we know drunkenness only leads to further sin, doesn't it? And drastic consequences. It is just not consistent with the worthy walk. So, it is sin, it's not wise, but it's also not God's will. He said in verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine. You want to know what God's will is? Do not be drunk with wine. It's pretty simple, right? Don't do it. It is not God's will. Being drunk with wine is not God's will. So don't be drunk with wine. It's pretty simple that he says right there. Next, it is dissipation, which means it can ruin your life. Now, the word dissipation is not something that really communicates much to us, and it's translated various ways in different translations, like debauchery. And what does that mean, right? What does debauchery mean? Basically, here's probably the best illustration. It's a word that was used of the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son? He had all of these wonderful things from his father, and he decided, I'm going to walk away from it all that God has given me with my dad. I'm going to take my inheritance. And he went off and squandered everything with loose living. Loose living. Dissipation means you're wasting your life. You're wasting your resources. You're wasting all that has been given to you on yourself. That's what dissipation is. And in the end, it is nothing but a waste. And it hurts you and it hurts those who are around you. When you think about it, when someone is drunk, their mind is impaired. Your decisions are impaired. Your judgment is impaired. And this leads to what? Impaired actions. foolish decisions and foolish words and foolish behavior. How many young people have given in to immorality because of alcohol? Because they had too much to drink. How many accidents have occurred because someone was drunk and they didn't have the ability to drive? They thought they did, but they were being a fool. How many arguments have ensued? How many lamps, windows, phones have been shattered because of anger and arguments that have been caused because someone has misused alcohol? How many marriages have ended? How many children have had their lives affected by the abuse of alcohol? How many lives have been wasted? How much time has been wasted? How much money has been wasted? How many relationships have been wasted? Must I go on? We all know. I know this from personal experience in my own family. I remember, my mother was a saint. My dad came to Christ before he died. But I remember the difficult years when my dad came home drunk and my parents arguing and the divorce that ensued and the path that my life went and my sister's lives, how we were all changed. Alcohol was not the thing that caused it, but it was the major influence. So many of you have been affected in the same way as I. So it's not wise. It's not God's will. It is dissipation. And it only leads to further sin. And so it is something that we must simply avoid, drunkenness. So, what's the contrast? We want to spend our time talking about the positive side. I mean, you understand the heaviness of the abuse of alcohol. You understand what it can cause. You've seen it. Just about everybody in this room has been affected in some way by it. But I want to focus on the filling of the Spirit, and I hope that in your life groups, that's where you focus your time as well. We don't want to just commiserate talking about how much wine can I drink, should I smoke marijuana now that's legal, and all those things. No, we want to spend our time talking about the positive, being filled with the Spirit, because my contention is if you focus on walking with the Spirit, all those other questions are going to be answered for you because they're hard issues. So, in contrast to living under these godly influences, we are to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's much of what it means to be filled by the Spirit. Living under the influence of the Spirit. He says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, two things that we can say right off the bat that are the contrast of being drunk. It is wise to be filled with the Spirit, and it is God's will to be filled with the Spirit, right? Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's the wise thing to do. That's the wise way to live. It is God's will for you as a Christian to be filled with the Spirit. It is not something that is just for some people or some Christians who have reached a higher plane. It is for every believer because it's a command that's given to us collectively, be filled with the Spirit. It is God's will for you. It is the wise way to live. And it is the only way that you can live in the light and live and walk in wisdom is by the power of God's Spirit. So, what does this mean? What does this mean to be filled with the Spirit? It's mysterious to most people. What on earth does it mean to have God fill us? Now, I want to get grammatical for a minute because it's important to understand this. All of our translations, most of our translations, I shouldn't say all, say that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Two translations that I'm aware of, the Holman Christian Standard Bible and the New English Bible, both say we are to be filled by the Spirit. Big difference. Because what are we talking about? Are we to be filled with the content of the Spirit? Or are we to be filled by the agent of the Spirit? Who does the filling, in other words, and what are we filled with? I can take a glass of water and pour it into a larger pitcher. I am the one who is filling the container, and it is being filled with water. And in the same way, the Spirit is the one who is filling us, and what He's filling us is with Christ. Let me explain that as we go along. First of all, the word "with" is never used in this grammatical construction as meaning content. It's never meant anywhere in the New Testament that the content is filled with. So I want to look at just some other instances of the ministry of the Spirit. And we see in these instances that we are to just cooperate under the influence and the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. For instance, in Romans 8:4, we are to walk according to the Spirit. And these verses that I'm going to show you, they're all saying pretty much the same thing. They're all synonymous. Being filled with the Spirit, we are also to walk according to the Spirit. It says this in Romans 8:4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are to walk according to the Spirit, by means of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. We're not to walk in sin of the flesh. We're to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, it says this, we are to walk by the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We read that list, the desires of the flesh. Immorality, drinking, drunkenness, all those things that are the fruit of the flesh. But here he says, walk by, which means by means, by the power, by the influence, by that evidence of the Spirit. And if you do that, you're not going to walk in those other things. You're not going to walk in the deeds of the flesh. Galatians 5:25, at the end of that chapter, after Paul had talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, then he says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's the way the ESV translates it, and that is correct. It's a different word than walk. The word walk that we've seen all the way through the book of Ephesians, but here he says, keep in step. If you've ever been in the military, if you've ever been in a marching band or a color guard or one of those things, you know you have to forward, march, left, right, left. And you have to cover down on those who are next to you, and you have to keep in step with those that you are marching with. And this is what this word means. We are keeping in step with the Spirit in our lives. He's there. He's influencing us. He's teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And we're walking in step with Him, keeping in step. All that to say this, the numerous ways that we see that we are told to cooperate with the Spirit, I believe they all mean the same thing, even the filling of the Spirit. They pretty much mean the same thing. We're encouraged to cooperate with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know He lives in us. We know He's powerful. We know that He is supernatural, and we cooperate with what He's doing. But what does the word fullness mean? It's another word we need to talk about for just a minute. Because in the book of Acts, doesn't it say that people were filled with the Spirit and charismatic events happened, big supernatural things? Yes, they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke with tongues. But that word in Acts chapter 2 is a different word than here. It's not the same word. So what we need to do is we need to look at how Paul has used the word fullness and filled in the book of Ephesians, because he all along he's building up by using that word fullness and filled to make the point in Ephesians 5:18 that we are filled with Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:22-23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Remember back in chapter 1, Christ was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the God of the Father, and we are his body, and the fullness of him fills all in all. According to this verse, the church, we who are Christ's body, we already share in his fullness, the fullness of Christ, because we've been placed into the body of Christ. So this divine fullness is found perfectly in Christ, and from him, believers have already come to this fullness. So we are already sharing with the fullness that there is of Christ. In chapter 3, when Paul has that wonderful prayer that is in many ways the heart of the book of Ephesians, and he says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you," here's the request, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." We looked at this last week. Why? "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." This is the ministry of the Spirit. That Christ is dwelling in your heart. He is at home in your heart. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, this is the ministry of the Spirit, you're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that the ultimate of this prayer is that you may be filled to the fullness of God. That's the book of Ephesians right there, that you are going to be filled up with God. Godliness, Christ-likeness. Not just a little bit of him, but all of the fullness of who Christ is and all of the fullness of the triune God. And he's telling us that that is the ultimate request of the book of Ephesians. All that truth that we saw in chapters 1 and 2. Why? What's the purpose of it? That we would be filled up. Now, there is an eschatological part of this, that one day we will completely be filled with the fullness of God. But in the meantime, there is this progressive sanctification that's happening, as we see in Ephesians 4:10 through 13. Remember when we were talking about spiritual gifts? "He who descended is himself also who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things." According to this verse, the ascended Christ is the one who fills all things. And how does he do this? By giving us gifts. Verse 11, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." As we are ministering our gifts to one another, the final goal is that we are building up one another to this fullness of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate. He is the measuring rod, his perfection, and we are becoming more and more like him as we minister to one another. The fullness of Christ is the result. So in Ephesians 5:18 through 20, says we are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:16, which is the parallel verse, notice how similar it is. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Notice in the Colossians verse, there's no mention of the filling of the Spirit. So did the Colossian church, which was 90 miles away, did they miss out on this important doctrine? Were they missing something? Did they have to get the letter from Ephesus for them to put it all together and understand really what it means to live the filling of the Spirit? No. That clues us into the way that the Spirit works. He gets out of the way. And one of the things that he does is he uses the Word of God, and we're going to come to that in a minute, but you see those parallel passages. One mentions the filling of the Spirit, one does not, but they both have the same happy outcome. We are filled with Christ in joy and worship. So, what then is the filling of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who fills us. And the content of that filledness is godliness and maturity found in Jesus Christ. If you're full of the Spirit, you're full of Christ. If you're being filled with the Spirit, you're being influenced to become like Christ on a daily basis. The Spirit of God is empowering you to be like Jesus Christ. That is what the filling of the Spirit is. But what keeps us from that? Why doesn't it just happen? What keeps us from being filled with the Spirit? Number one, pretty simple, sin. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sin always short circuits the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. It always keeps us from growing in holiness. Sin is not wise. Sin is dissipation. Sin is not the will of God. Sin is not like Jesus. And whenever we are like Jesus Christ, we can be assured that the Spirit is working because He's making us like Christ. He is filling us with Christ's likeness, but sin will short circuit it. The second thing, and there may be more, is the quenching of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says very simply, don't do it. Don't quench the Spirit. We quench the Spirit when we are not filled with the Spirit because we refuse to yield to His influence and power in our lives. We choose to do what we want to do. When we say, this stuff is baloney. When we are drunk or we're influenced by something else, some other substance in our life or other person or activity in our life, when we are influenced by that, we're quenching the Spirit. We're tamping the ministry and the power of the Spirit down, and we're not becoming like Jesus Christ. Again, I ask the question, I think we're afraid sometimes because we're not charismatics, to allow the free flow of the Spirit in our lives. I feel like raising my hands. No, I don't want to do that. I feel like singing louder. No, people might think I'm drunk with the Spirit. Tamping down, resisting what the Spirit is doing in our lives. I think we need to recognize that, again, this is a supernatural influence and power that lives in us, and He will change our lives. So that's what short circuits it, sin and the quenching. But how can we be filled by the Spirit to that fullness of Christ? Well, when we submit, when we yield to the influence and the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we give in. We give up and we give in to what the Spirit is doing in our lives. And how do you know? What are the means by which the Holy Spirit is going to do that? He is going to influence our lives. I think that I like the word influence here, by the way, instead of the word control. Oftentimes it's the filling of the Spirit is explained by it's the Spirit is controlling your life. But I don't get that because a hand in a glove controls the glove, right? The glove doesn't have any say, so it's the hand that is responsible. We are always responsible to participate and to yield and to cooperate with the ministry of the influence of the Spirit. This idea of control has led to lots of zany illustrations, and maybe you've heard some of them. One I heard when I was a young believer was, you need to yield control of the Spirit, like you're driving in a car, and you need to get out of the driver's seat and let the Spirit drive your car. How do you do that? What does that mean? What does that mean? What do you do? I mean, it makes for a cute little word picture, but in terms of how I live my life, it makes no sense. We all know what a DUI is. Driving under the influence. In some states, it's called an OUI. Operating under the influence. And we're to be operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When you're drunk, you're out of control. The alcohol is not the thing that causes you. It influences you to make bad decisions, and you give into that, and you do stupid and foolish things because you are being influenced by an outside source. But the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not something like alcohol. He is a person who lives in us, and the command is to be filled, and we obviously have some control over it because we have to obey that. And so we yield to that influence in our lives, and we cooperate with what the Spirit is doing. And how does that happen? What are the means by which the Holy Spirit fills us with Christ? It's not complicated. It's not some spiritual secret. It's not something you have to join a Pentecostal charismatic church to find out what it means. The simplicity of the filling of the Spirit is that He uses ordinary things that we call ordinary to make us like Jesus, and this is what they are. Number one, God's Word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And so when I read this book, the Holy Spirit, who gave me a new mind, a new heart, there's this contact point with which He can allow me and opens my eyes to understand and to see the truths of His Word and what it means for my life, and so for you, so for all of us. Never underestimate the power of God's Word. Oh, it's just reading the Bible. It is alive. You know why it's alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword? It is the sword of the Spirit. And it will transform your life if you let it so. The second thing is prayer, of course. This is the work of the Spirit, because our access is to the Father in one Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray and we're talking to God and our spirit is communing with God, it is the Spirit of Christ who lives in us that helps us to pray as we ought. It is a spiritual exercise to talk to God. And that is one of the means that God uses, that the Spirit uses to fill us with Christ. The third one is faith. We have to believe that these things are true. This stuff is supernatural in nature. It's not just theology. To believe that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, to believe that you are indwelt with the Spirit, to believe that you can be filled with the Spirit, to believe that you are therefore called to live a life that is beyond an ordinary human life. You are called to live an extraordinary, supernatural life, empowered by, influenced by His Spirit. Do you believe that? That's faith. And when we believe that, that is the difference between, I think, Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Old Testament saints, they could walk in wisdom of the Proverbs, but now we've got the power. We have the power to really make it so. The fourth one is obedience. Be filled with the Spirit is a command, is it not? It is a command. Don't get drunk. That's a command. Instead, be filled. God has given you that new heart and mind and nature, and therefore you have the ability, because you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have the ability to be filled with Christ. And not just obey, but obey based upon the knowledge of all these things that you've understood and you've come to believe. I can obey because of all the spiritual truths and the principles of God's Word that I've been taught. Therefore, we yield. We submit. We trust and obey. If you are full of the influence of the Spirit, the result is you are filled with Christ. Christ-likeness. Again, if you have questions about, well, can I drink? How much can I drink? Marijuana is legal. Can I smoke that now? Here's my, instead of fumbling about with all that stuff, here's my advice. Be filled with the Spirit. Focus on being filled with the Spirit, because those questions are hard issues. If you're not sure about whether you should drink or whether how much you should drink, maybe you shouldn't, okay? We're smoking dope. My encouragement to you is to focus on being filled with the Spirit, obeying, believing, praying, reading God's Word, doing those things, and it will become abundantly clear what God wants you to do because you will be under His influence, not the influence of anything else. Okay, here are some lessons. The filling of the Spirit is for all of us. It is possible for you, and it is the norm of the Christian life. This is normal for all of us to be filled with the Spirit. He expects us to continually be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't just say, hey, you leaders out there, you who are in ministry, you who are super Christians, be filled with the Spirit. This is for every one of us. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not just for a few. And the only reason the first disciples had to go through a two-step process was because they had believed before the day of Pentecost. So this idea that I became a Christian and now I need to get the filling of the Spirit, or now I need to get the baptism of the Spirit. No. You have been baptized with the Spirit. You have been indwelt with the Spirit. You've been sealed with the Spirit. Now you are to daily live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who is making you like Jesus through extraordinary means. And I will say this, even though God uses what we might call ordinary means, Bible, prayer, to fill us, He still uses spiritual events to come upon us anew with a freshness. I experience that from time to time in my life. I'll go through a time of dryness, and maybe I'm in sin, and I come to repentance, and maybe just out of the blue, God comes, the freshness of the filling of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit comes upon me, and I know you experience that too. It is possible. I think it is part of the Christian life. It's not something to be sought, but it is something that happens to us. It is supernatural. No less non-charismatic preacher as Spurgeon, because he was not charismatic, every Sunday when he walked to the pulpit, he would mutter to himself, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Spirit, because he knew that what he was doing was supernatural. And what we do is supernatural. Finally, I invite you to a prayer this morning. This prayer or something like this, because maybe you've fallen off the wagon in many ways, not just alcohol, but just not walking with God. You've become influenced by gaming, gambling, pornography, food. This is a day to come back and to be filled with Christ. This is a holy moment, a moment of hushedness where you can ask God once again, and maybe it involves you crying out to Him for forgiveness. But the prayer is this, God, help me by the power of Your Spirit to be changed into the full likeness of Jesus Christ. I yield my life to You now and to all the influences, the power of Your Spirit. So we pray silently. And would you pray that prayer or something like it?